Before we begin, we need to seek the Lord in prayer. Kneel with me or bow your heads, please. Loving Father in heaven, we come now in the name of Jesus. And as we have heard from every presentation, the uplifted Savior. And as we enter into this particular study, we need continually the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray as we go into the study that you will break the chains off our minds and hearts. And there might be troubled souls here. You send your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. You send your Holy Spirit, the one who will lead and guide into the truth in the arms of Jesus. The one who will speak peace to our heart. Peace that he gives, not as the world gives. The joy that he gives that can never be disturbed when there is abiding presence. So take this little feeble clay and you hide it behind the cross. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. Let our hearts resonate with your spirit. And Lord, give us sustaining grace that we can leave this place not as we came, but that we can live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like for you to turn your Bible. I know time is very important. This series of studies will be in two parts, but I need to share some things. I know there are people here that heard of my life-changing experience. There are people here who have been praying for me. I know that. Some might not know the situation. But first of all, let me bring your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter 42. Psalms 42, verse 11. In Psalms 42, verse 11, the Lord says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, which is the health of my countenance, my God. May God's word resonate with our heart. Let me preface this morning, this evening meeting, for those who probably heard of my encounter. Time is so short. It seemed like yesterday, July 17, 2015, my wife and I were scheduled to go to Nigeria to run a school. Aren't you glad that God sees all things from the end to the beginning? So he orchestrated that I do not go to Nigeria. So as that took place, I got a call from England. Been there several times, but only for 2 weeks this time. It's good. July 17, 2015. My wife and I boarded a plane that early Friday. Got there Friday also early. Everything is business as usual as I travel extensively. Dispatched from the airport, carried to my place, our place of abode for 2 weeks. Unpacked, fellowship, pray, reacquaint ourselves with the family, eat, take a wonderful walk in that small city. Come home, sun is setting, prayer. Before the sunset, I take a shower. Ready to relax for the Sabbath and prepare for the next morning's Sabbath. I lay down in my bed with my bride by my side. I don't know what time transpired, but my lovely wife says she heard a grunting sound. And as she heard that sound, she woke up and she shook me a little bit. With my eyes wide open, and no breath in my body. No breath in my body. Well, too much to tell. They called for the folks downstairs, as my wife now reports to me. They run up, as medical missionaries should, and try to put a little cayenne pepper in me. I've done it hundreds of times with people. Vasodilator that has helped. My eyes wide open. No breath in my body. Cayenne had no effect. They call. Brain deprived of oxygen for the first 30 minutes. Anybody in medical field know 3 to 5 minutes of oxygen deprivation to the brain is irreparable brain damage. They dispatched. They came. Still got little bruises on my body. Bruised ribs. As my wife report, she helped the individual to get me out of the bed on the floor, and they began to do their thing, interventionally, to pump life back. But as story goes, I was resting for 7 days. Literally resting for 7 days. They said, well, we better put him in a coma because the brain gonna swell. But there I was, down. Every day they came to my wife, encouraging her, said, no. If he live, he would never be able to walk or talk. That was a report for those times. One of my children flew over. One of my son flew over. 7 days. Nothing. And on the Sabbath day, my God, your God, with my hands and my wife's hand, touched me. Woke me up. I did not wake up laying in that short bed. They said, you must have grown some because I stretch every day. I did not wake up looking around and said, what happened to me? The words that came out of my mouth was words of prayer for the people in the ICU, shipping people out in body bags, in and out. 3 people in that country died from this particular condition that they say I had. A soccer player, cricket player, all in their 30s. One was 34 years of age. He died one day before his marriage. That's what I want to say to you. I've been in this work for 40 years. When I say I've been a Christian, because Adventism and Christianity are synonymous. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. So when I say I've been a Christian for 40 years, that's Adventism. Amen. I've been into full-time ministry for 40 years. Full-time. Left my profession. Houses, slept on concrete floors. God has given me the privilege to cover every continent in the world, except for the South Pole and North Pole. Every state in the United States. I've handled people with AIDS. I've seen people with viral load almost down to 10. I've seen God raise them up. I seen cancer raised up. I seen people die in my hand. 40 years. No complaints. When God woke me up, I shared that in the panel. And I'm saying this for a reason. Those 3 scriptures that I shared earlier, I repeat them again. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 23. 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Keep that in mind. Favorite text. Jeremiah 17:9. This is something that kind of passed by us, especially as I classify those of us present true for reformers. The heart is what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. You need to really understand that. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 21 on through to 25 to 26. God said, my name been profaned among the heathens. I will sanctify my name for your sake and my sake. I'm going to take that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. New spirit. Those are the three scriptures God gave me when he woke me up. And then he quietly, because you know the devil speaks to you and so does God. How do you know which is speaking? God downloads his word to you. Then he quietly said to me, which took me back a little bit. How many years have you said I've been in this working back? Remember? How many years? 40 years. He said, son, I repeated it several times. I'm not going to repair your heart. And I'm not going to fix your heart. That's what he said, very clearly to me. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart, one with the capacity to hold my spirit. And then those words, as I said many times in my testimony, which resonated with me that I did not fully understand until that point. He said, surrender. Do you hear what I just said? How long have I been in this work? I've seen the hands of God working. I've seen him sustain my family. I have lost property, houses, slept on concrete floors, and etc. But he restores it. I thought I had surrender. Anybody listen to me? I began to reflect. And as he just come to a conclusion, he said, many will come to me and say, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? You know the story. What did he say? I knew you not, workers of iniquities. We confuse many times the role that we play. I would not say some of us, the majority of us, we carry out God's part of the work. I thought 40 years, the gifts, the teaching, the educating, lifestyle work was my ticket into the kingdom of God. I'm a fixer. I like to help fix people's lives. I'm a director. I like to direct people. I like to direct the ministry. Anybody remember Jairus? His daughter was sick. Jairus, you remember? Huh? A leader in Israel. Then you had the centurion. That's a contrast. Jairus told Jesus to come heal his daughter. Did you know that? He's accustomed of directing and managing people. So he's gonna manage Jesus. He's gonna direct Jesus. And Jesus responded favorably, but Jesus took his time because there was somebody in the crowd he had to slide close to. And when he got there, Jairus' daughter was dead. And you read the centurion, it was the same thing. The centurion, I'm not worthy you come into my house. We, in self-supporting work, in the regular work, we still have the mindset of directing. We take our plans to God and want him to bless our plans. I did it for 40 years. 40 years. I would lay down at night ruminating how this is going to, I had to plan ahead of my staff. I got to be sure that I'm in the front. So therefore, when they look to me, I have the right answers. I lay down at night. I go to bed at 9 o'clock, but I ruminate at night. Look up that word, ruminate. It's not planning, going over. Where the money coming from? Where the students? What about staff? You know, just, you know, I'm at bed at 9 o'clock, but it's not rest. So I'm ruminating. The sleep is not sweet. The work is on my mind and how I'm trying to figure this out. I got to stay a step ahead. I am a person that lacks control. This is not my testimony. It's yours, too. God woke me up with that download. And I tell you, anyone that know me, if God had not woken me up and began to download what he had for me, the next time I would have woken up would have been in the second resurrection. I watched a young man coming up. Powerful. Preaching good. But God is not inspecting the gifts. He's inspecting fruit. A message that does not have the fruit is powerless. So, I did not have a heart attack, just in case people didn't hear. I did not have a stroke. When I woke up, there are all six physicians and the surgeons around me. And I woke up, think I'm in class, Proverbs 26:2. I said, doctors, the curse calls us should not come. I thought I was talking to my students, but it was doctors there. The curse calls us should not come. You see, it's indelibly in my mind because I know every effect, there's a cause. So I said, I caught myself. I said, doc, what's your diagnosis? They looked at me like you looking at me. Blank stare. I said, doc, what's going on? Well, your heart is in good shape. Your arteries are as clean as a baby. On your records, you don't smoke. Only thing we can conclude is heredity. I said, oh. I said, you need to check that out, doc. They found out it was not heredity. I said, well, doc, then what's your prognosis? Well, the electrical current in your heart went out. My mind. God has endowed us with a certain amount of vital force. That vital force is the electrical energy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. Vital force. I didn't have a heart attack. I didn't have cancer. I didn't have a stroke. Vital force. Well, doc, what's your protocol now? Since you don't know the cause, since you understand the electrical current, what's your protocol? They got a little disturbed, and I had to reassure them that my question was not to challenge their professionality. I said to them, I appreciate the interventional, the emergency, the care, but does not the patient have the right to ask questions? Maybe my question was maybe a little too technical. I said, well, then what's your step? Well, the only thing we can see we can do, so this won't happen again, we'll run or we'll wire up to your body and get to the right chamber of your heart and kill that node in your heart. I did not enter into no discussion with the doctor. I did not enter into no debate with the doctor. I did not enter to clarify that for me. I reassured them, I appreciate your individual help. I really do. I want to assure them. And I kindly said, no. It's okay. I said, I will return to the United States. I have a close doctor friend of mine. He's a member of our church. He's a cardiologist, but he does not specialize in electrical current. But he stayed constant with my wife on the phone, all my records. So I told him, I'll make this short because I'm about to cut the other part, that I will go home. They said, well, the only two places close to you specialize in that. That's Vanderbilt University, which is in Nashville, and University of Alabama. I said, fine. So after I spent 1 month in the hospital, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, just sharing my faith with every soul. Then God afforded me a place 2 hours outside of London, England, in the country. Wonderful family. You know, the Bible says, cast your bread on many waters, it returning to you. In a foreign country, no money, et cetera, et cetera. My wife had to tell that story because when I was 7 days, I'm not conscious of anything. The Lord had to deal with my lovely wife. But I spent the next month in the country outside of London, England. And I said to my wife and the folks, I said, when I get out of here, I need to go to church. My wife said, you can't walk. I'll crawl to church. That's what I told her. They found the church, went there. They was having communion that day, President. And the communion, it was upstairs, 15 flights. I couldn't walk down steps like this when I got out of the hospital. 15 flights. And my wife is a protector. I love her to death. That's what women are. Protect your heart. She said, honey, you can't go up those steps. Honey, yes, I can. I can go up those steps if I got to crawl. You remember Martin Luther, didn't you? He crawled. I went up those steps. I took communion. I paid my vows. My God is good to me. I went to church every Sabbath I was there. Walking steady. My wife brought me a cane. I wouldn't say it was pride. It was too short. That's what I did. Too short. So I said, come on, honey. I put my hand on your shoulder. So that month, I had good care. One of the young ladies now is working with us. She's from England. My close friend, he was there. Good food. By the way, in the hospital, I couldn't eat the food. Even though they were putting tubes everywhere, I was throwing up everything. And my wife consulted with the people. Said, well, they say you can't go in the kitchen, but you can bring your own food. I'm out there in the country exercising every day. They gave me a little physical therapy, honey. What kind of physical therapy I got? Maybe about an hour or so. I knew I was coming around because I found myself walking to the bathroom with a little nurse on my right side. I'm walking to the bathroom. That's where I thought I was going. I said, can we stop a moment? She said, sure, Mr. Jackson. I said, why? I said, can I ask you a question? Everybody's short to me, you know. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. She's very short, very short. She said, yeah, yeah. I said, is there a male nurse on this floor? No, Mr. Jackson, there's no male nurse. Is there a male orderly on this floor? No. Is there a male janitor on this floor? That's what I said. She said, why are you asking these questions? Well, I'm a little cognitive now. If my wife cannot take me to the bathroom, I want a janitor male to take me to the bathroom. And so that really kind of quickened her mind. And so 2 months, rehabilitated myself a little bit in England because they were afraid that I couldn't fly. So I flew back. So let's shrink this. Our camp meeting every year, we couldn't be there. I sent a video, praise God. So I get back to the country here. The ministry is the same. The people are the same. The challenges are the same. Are you listening to me? I'm bringing a point. There's no change in the ministry, no change in the people, no change in the disposition, no change in the finances, no change in the infrastructure. Everything is the same except for me. Except for me. That's very important. And as I finally go to the staff, we just have a staff meeting. Because when you, and see, it's a different being a leader and a manager. It's very important. That's why we're now developing a leadership training program. It's leader. It's different being a leader. And as situation occurs, they're going to look to the leader, and you need to have answers. Are you listening to me, President? Are you listening to me, self-supporting workers? You need answers. That's what I used to do. And when God told me to surrender, I waved my white flag to him. That means I gave up my right to direct my life, to direct the ministry life. I gave up my right to use my tools. And I committed myself to the hands of God. And so when there was no response from me, decision as they usually look, I said, we are still living in Bible days. The same God of Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the apostle, is still alive today. And that God still answers prayers today. We're not going to look to Jackson no more. And we're not going to vote on what God has already ordained. You don't vote on God's plan. When God gives a word, I don't need a committee to agree with God's word. They looked at me. I said, now let's pray. Let's pray. God's going to give us the answer. Did he answer the day of Pentecost? You got to keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Please keep this in mind. There's a God that will answer prayer if you give your heart to him. Finally, I go to my cardiologist. When I walked in his room office, he grabbed my hand, he hugged me, and he cried. Checked me out. He said, I said, Doc, what about this operation I gotta have? He said, let me find the best specialist for you. So he found someone in Memphis, Tennessee, which is 2 hours away from me, an Asian doctor. Now, I'll show you how messed up our minds are. Now, my doctor is a Christian doctor, so this Asian doctor, I'm thinking, never met the guy, I'm thinking maybe he's Hindu or he's in Buddha or something of this nature. I'm serious. That's just how my mind messed up. So I'm sitting there on the examining table, sitting there, my wife in the corner. Dr. Long, he walks into the room, he opened the door, and he hesitates, he greets my wife, then he looks over to me with a stare I never seen a doctor have on their face. Then he walks over to me, just like this brother sitting here. He walks over to me, he grabs my hand, he bends down and says, God is good to you. He's not an Adventist doctor. Not an Adventist doctor. Looked in his eyes watering. Never met the man in my life. 15% of the people that survived this, he said, they never walk, they never talk. He said, God is good to you. I said, Doc, they said I got to have this surgery to zap out my neck. No, he said, let's look at that. So I stayed on his care for weeks. Went back another week, looking good. When did we go back there? Last month, sometime? I said, Doc, again, what about this operation? He said, Jackson, there's no markers. If they did, they can't find anything. He said, what they gonna do? That's what he told me. He said, I see you next year. Now, I do thank God for that, but I do not hold on to that. He's a medical doctor. The record shows something, but I'm not crazy. Are you listening to me? God is still in charge. Amen. I'm not going to get back at the same pace in the race. I'm not going to direct and control. I can tell you when things happen, like stress, My armpits start sweating. My stomach start balding up. And at night I start ruminating. My wife can tell you my staff is a whole different ball game. Even when there's contention, because I'm a fighter. You crawl, so I'm a fighter for truth. Truth needs no defending. Because you're entitled to your opinion. I don't argue with my staff. I don't argue with nobody. So when I get into this message, you got a problem? That's God's problem. If you got something to say about me, I'm not going to defend myself. Only time Jesus opened his mouth when his Father was being under attack. But he never took time to defend himself. Inspiration tells us, when I was growing up in Chicago, we used to get in mud fights. Mud fights. Anybody been in a mud fight? Throw mud on one another? And I read that. I said, yeah, mud fights. I read a statement. It says, when people throw mud balls on you, don't smear. Don't wipe them off. They smear all over you. Let them dry. Then knock them off. I go back to the doctor. My blood pressure is 120 over 70. Cholesterol is good. But I'm still aware vital force was taken out of me. Are you listening to me? I'm still in the race. But there is no confusion in God. I just want to let you know that. And I appreciate your prayers. There's more to the story. There's glory behind every story. And as I said in that panel discussion, God didn't wake me up or did not allow this to happen for me to be an example of the relationship between allopathic medicine and natural medicine. If that was the case, man, God wasted his precious time. It was more than that. God wanted to save me. And that's why then when I came back, I did a, God sent me into John 15. How many studied John 15? How many studied, anybody read John 15? I read it hundreds of times. John 15. Even dealing with righteousness by faith, finished his work. I did a four-part series a month ago, John 15, which has definitely impacted my life. Why, at this point in my life, that there is no irritation, no agitation, no frustration that the devil can bring by God's grace to stir my peace. This experience has revolutionized my life in 40 years. Now, people say, why did it happen? Go ask those medical doctors. They don't know. But I can tell you one thing. Because there's a cause for everything. I tell you one thing that can contribute to it. It was not my diet, not any immorality, just a lot of, like a lot of self-supporting workers and pastors. We operate on spiritual adrenaline. I used to be a basketball player. I operate on adrenaline. Anybody know what I mean by adrenaline? You know, you get that second wind and you push. You push, that's right, pumped up 24/7 on an airplane, especially international flights. I love people. I like to help people. My wife is my barometer. She had to pull. She'll fight you. My husband needs rest. I'm keep pushing. Every call is for me to answer. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Demands. Instead of coming aside and rest a while, God took it on himself to give me a rest, a seven-day rest. Seven-day rest. Pray for me as we pray to finish this work. Read, what does that say up on the screen? Let's read that statement together. Know ye what? The Lord is what? It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I read this before. This let us know who is in charge here. God is. He's given us an owner's manual. And unfortunately, the fonts on their computer does not match mine. Owner's manual. I talked about that already. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Every product comes with a manufacturer's owner's manual, the Bible. Keep that in mind. Here, as these eight laws of health, like Heartland has eight laws, we simply call it God's plan because I put the most important one at the top of the plan, godly trust. Those are God's law. Those laws are as sacred as the Ten Commandments. What did I just say? They're as sacred as the Ten Commandments. Now, I said that. Can you, of your own, keep the Ten Commandments? No, they are holy. We need holy power. These laws are not secular. They are sacred. The same power we need to keep the Ten Commandments, we need that power to keep these eight laws. You ain't getting that. And it's been 40 years. People say, I tried this. Now, there's an individual in here. I don't see him. I think he was at Lake Jalusa. Is my friend here that had the diabetes, and now that boy, he's no longer have diabetes. He might be gone. But he followed these laws by God's word. Where is he? Where's my friend? Raise his hand. My brother, could you stand up for a moment? Now, whoever know him, you got to testify. But all I remember, when did I meet you? In Lake Jenoluska, men's prayer line, was about 3 years ago? 5 years. And usually, you know, when I give programs, I get a little animated. I ask people to come up. And I remember he came to me. He had diabetes, probably 1,000 milligram of glucose. And he sat in a chair, huh? And someone was trying to prevent him going through this situation. And the eight doctors that make house calls. Right? Went through that. The eight doctors revealed to him the cause of his problem. What did you do? Very quickly.
I followed the plan that you had in the book that you gave me.
I gave you a book, Disarming Diabetes.
Yeah.
What happened there?
I followed that and the vitamins that were
recommended. Herbs, huh?
And I've been diabetic free for at least 3 years.
Yeah. Following God's plan, by his grace, you become a tool in God's hand. And I told him, no, Jackson, to do one thing. Only thing we can do is point people to the source. God has the power. Point them to the source. Point them. A parachute doesn't work when it's closed. What do you think about that? Amen. It's obvious. You get that parachute, jump on out the plane. It's closed. You close. A parachute works when it's open. God can only come into your life when the heart is open. That's when it works. Life does not have a remote. You must get up and change it. Are you with me, folks? You got to get up and change it. Mind cure, what little time we have. Part one. I think you already. Now, Michael, the ones up here, the missionary student, you remember what he said? He's giving what? Anybody remember what he said he was doing here at Harlan? That's mental health. Michael, where are you, man? You come up and get this message. I'm encouraged by you. Harlan doing a job, man, on you. Praying for you, my brother. Zimbabwe. I told him we got family in Zimbabwe. We will work with Harlan, work with his brother. We'd like to see that work going on. Ministry of Healing. How many have that book? Wow, good. If you don't have the book, Heartland has the book. I'm serious. I didn't bring the book, but they got the book. That's all right. You get the book. That book changed my life. That was one of the first health books I read 40 years. That book contains the wisdom of the great physician. Ministry of Healing. And as Michael said, Mind Cure is a chapter that comes out of that book. Mind Cure. He quoted this, 241 in the hardback. What it says, the relationship that exists between the mind and the body is very what? Intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Now, watch this now as we move forward. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the results of what? Mental what? Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust. What do they do? They all tend to do what? Very important. It says here, they all tend to break down the life forces and invite decay and death. Decay and death. Keep that in mind. Here in Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mind. Keep this in mind now. Very important. Now, I put this up before. God has placed eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Thoughts, action is a byproduct of our thoughts. Action forms habits. Habits move into character. Character determines our destiny. As a man thinketh, so is he in his heart. Now, I didn't have it on the screen, but I want to go back for a moment. Back for a moment. I want you to look at this. I thought I had on this piece here. It says here, grief. Anybody know what grief is?
Yes.
Sorrow. Huh? All right. What about anxiety? Okay, you got a little bit. What about discontent?
Unhappy.
Not satisfied. That's what got the devil kicked out of heaven in the first place. Now, we can be discontent in a healthy way, but discontent. What about remorse? I call it a pity party. You ruminate, oh, if I'd have did better with my children, they would have turned out all right. If I'd have did this, you continue beating yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? That's remorse. What about guilt? Huh? It's condemnation. What about distrust? No confidence, no trust. I've been married for 44 years. I cannot imagine being married for 44 years and I cannot trust my wife and she cannot trust me. Hello. Now, God has our trust, but God builds a relationship. If we walk around with suspicion, apprehension, all of this affects our physical health. Keep that in mind now. Keep that in mind. Very important. What does it say? You read it? 9/10. I read this many times. It said 9/10 diseases are spiritual. Out of 100, what is 9/10? 90. Thank you, sir. Listen. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases which men suffer have their foundation here. Strokes, electrical current in the heart, diabetes, cancer, ALS, fibromyalgia, you name it. 90% of physical disease find their origin in the mind, coupled with not eating right, no exercise, and all of that. 9/10. Very important to understand that. You can't hardly see this, but it says, now listen, perhaps some living home trouble. Some of us come out of our homes that is dysfunctional, that is just toxic. Not that God can't fix toxic home, but it's toxic. Parents, children, it goes on. Eating to the very what? Very soul and weaken the what? That's vital force. It goes on. Remorse for sin, ruminating, beating yourself for things you've done in the past. When you give your sins to God and confess, he casts them into the sea.
Amen.
And when those things come back to you, that's not God bringing them back. That's the devil bringing them back. Keep that in mind. It says here, undermines the constitution, unbalances the mind. Listen to this. There are erroneous doctrines also. Now, she goes on to talk about eternal burning in hell, endless torment. But I know a young man committed suicide, blew his brains out. He was holding on to a doctrine. in the Advent faith and made it a test of fellowship. I tell you that doctrine. No Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the third person of Godhead. No Holy Spirit. And they made it a test. Then the second person left the faith. Because most, we don't believe in eternal burning, but we can hold on to erroneous doctrines until they just permeate our being, and we'll make it a test. And the devil has leverage. It will drive you over the hill. You don't believe that? Don't play with the devil.
That's right.
Don't play with him. We go on and talk about here. By giving exaggerated and distorted views of the character of God, God does not destroy. I come through all of this. We find have produced the same results upon sensitive minds. It can cause mental illness. A great deal of the sickness which afflicts humanity has origin in the mind. Where is origin? And then it goes on and says, and can only be cured by restoring the mind to health. There are many more than we imagine who are sick mentally. Heart sickness make many, what? Dyspeptics. That's stomach problem. Could be Crohn's disease. Ulcers. Because there's connection between the brain, nerves, and the stomach. Our mental attitude could either suppress the immune system or cause it to function properly. You could be the best vegan in town, and with a mental depression, that food rots in your stomach. I know what I'm talking about. Far too little thought is given to the causes underlying the mortality, the disease, and degeneracy that exists today in the most civilized and favored lands. The human race is increasing and invigorating. No, it's deteriorating. It's deteriorating. At least one out of eight men will suffer a major depression sometime in their lives. Men have a false conception of who they are. I guarantee you that, because I know we have an image we must project. We find one out of four women will suffer a major depression in their lifetime. Find that 99% of the people at the age of 70 years old will suffer situational depression. What does that mean? I remember my mother when she began to get sick, and even before I became an Adventist Christian, I said, I'm going to say this, and this is not a condemnation if those have to do this. But I had purpose in my heart that my mother was not going to die in a nursing home. She was going to die in my home. Now, some people might not do that. We have sisters and brothers. I say, hey, it's too many of us to let our mother cast her off into a strange place. Situational depression. She can lose her husband, but the familiarity of the family put in a strange place that sent them down. That's why when you have an Enoch outpost, you better have an Elijah room. Hello out there. Elijah room from mama, granddaddy. I'm serious. Situational depression. What is mental illness? I'm going to pull from some secular, then we'll move on because we'll pick this up tomorrow by God's grace. Mental illness is any disease or condition that influences the way a person thinks, feels, behaves, and or relates to other and to his or her surroundings. It's all right. Although the symptoms of mental illness can range from mild to severe and are different depending on the type of mental illness. Now, this is secular writing. Some of this is true. A person with an untreated mental illness often is unable to cope with life, daily routines, and demands. All right? Let's move on. Some more. What causes it? Quoting from secular writings, although the exact cause of most mental illness is not known, and I will, by God's grace, dispel that myth, because there is a cause to all mental illness, and that will be revealed. If we don't do it tonight, it will be revealed tomorrow, and the solution. Therefore, to go on to say, It is becoming clear through research, I do research, fine. Many of these, the condition are caused by, yes, a combination of what? Genetic, we'll talk about that. Biological, psychological, environmental factors. Okay, no problem with that. Not personal weakness, I have a question on that. Or character defect, I have a question on that. And recovery from mental illness is not simply a matter of will and self-discipline. I got a question on that. You see my question about? Okay? And I will show that with the time I have tonight and tomorrow. All right? I'm not going to read all that. Heredity. I put up there, heredity is not destiny. God said, I visit the iniquities of the father to the third and the fourth generation. We do not inherit a disease. We inherit a predisposition. You understand what I mean? A predisposition. That we might have the tendency, and then everything put in place, then we get the disease. Are you with me? Okay. I won't stay there. Biological. Some mental illness has been linked to abnormal balance of brain chemicals, which is true. Called neurotransmitter. Neurotransmitters help nerve cells in their brain communicate with each other. If these chemicals are out of balance or are not working properly, messages may not make it through the brain correctly, leading to symptoms of mental illness. I can buy into that because I work with people, neurotransmitters, hormones. I can understand that. That can become an imbalance. Your lifestyle can produce that. Are you following me? Let's look at psychological trauma. I can agree with this. Some mental illness may be triggered by what? Psychological trauma such as child abuse, severe emotional, physical, sexual abuse. Is that true? Yes, those are some of the factors contributing to that. Or loss of both parents, etc. Environmental stressors, such as death or divorce. Yes. Dysfunctional family, changing jobs or school, substance abuse can trigger disorder. So I can agree with some of that. And we all experience that. This is just a picture of Paris showing how they began to deal with all these different mental dispositions. I'm not going to spend time on that. Tranquilizers and antidepressants, drugs account for 1/4 of all prescribed medication. That's a lot of medication. Would you say so? When this was done in 2004, it's increased. Over 11 million children in the United States are on antidepressants. It's more now. More now. More. Prozac. You heard of Prozac. Zoloft. All of these drugs. Interesting. So I'm not going to spend time on that. Move on. How many know this man?
Yes.
Those who go to secular schools, take psychology, must pass through the father of psychoanalysis, Freud. He says religion is an illusion. Every student who have taken psychology will study him. Are you listening to me? Anybody want to deny that? You must bypass it because he's the father of psychoanalysis. He says religion is illusion. Freud regards the monotheistic God as an illusion based on the infantile emotion, need for a powerful supernatural power. That means that we need a parent in our life. So we invent this God to comfort us. That was his position. I don't need to read all the rest of that stuff. That was the position. Why? How do you know? Because when I went to undergrad school, I stepped by him and took his stuff too. So I had to be detoxified. I read his books. Freud and religion. This argument was further developed in The Future of Illusion, in which Freud argued that religious belief serves the function of psychological consolation. Freud argues the belief of a supernatural protector serves as a buffer for man. Fear of nature, just as the belief in an afterlife serves as a buffer for man's fear of death. Do you understand what I'm saying? What he's saying up here? That this man has no clue of who God is. And though he set his parameters based on his mindset, and we sit under this infidel and learn psychoanalysis, then a person come to you with psychological problem, then you're going to do psychoanalysis on that problem. No way, Jose. Let's go back. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 3. And we might have to wrap up. Let's go back to the beginning. Are you with me? And let's skip all the rest of the jargon back to Genesis chapter 3. Let's see where mental illness began. And for tomorrow, we'll find a solution. Mental illness. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Notice what the word of God says. Father, the word of God. Father, be with us as we come to these points here. Give us understanding and clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We probably won't be getting any further than this. We'll pick up tomorrow. But listen to Genesis chapter 3. You there with me? I'm going to pick up at verse 7. Now, everybody know the whole picture of Adam and Eve. I don't have to give you a whole Bible study on that. God put man in the garden. Man was perfect. Would you say so? Even though some might debate about the fact that Adam was only reflecting the thought of God. So Adam's mind and God's mind were in harmony. And when Adam spoke in his sinless state, he was speaking after the thoughts of God. Adam's mind was in harmony with God. Keep that in mind. All right. Let's see. Can we wrap this thing here? In verse 7, the Bible says, And the eyes of them both were open. Now, remember, I'm in Genesis 3, 7. You remember the tempter. You go up and read. The devil said, has not God said you can eat of these trees? Eve began to respond to her, put him. But Eve added to God's word. You know that. God said, don't eat. She said, God said, don't eat or touch. When you add to God's word or take away, he's going to add to your name to the book of plagues. That's what happened to us. We're always going to add. We're going to edit God's word. We're going to revise God's word. You can't do that. So down in verse 7, follow me now. It says here, and the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were what? Naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Follow me. And they what? Heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? From the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, that's the Hebrew word called Aika, where are thou? Now God knew where they were, did he not? He's omniscient. Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was what? And I was a naked. And I what? Then you go on down. He said, who told you was naked? And verse 12 said, and the man said, the what? Okay, keep that in mind. Let me put this on the screen as we wrap this up here on this part. This is what happened. When Adam and Eve severed themselves from their relationship with God, this is what took place. Shame. Isolation, fear, guilt, denial, blame, self-preservation. What do you think about that? Are you with me? Am I doing injustice to the scriptures? Those are byproduct of a mind that's separated from God, of depression, shame. They hid themselves. Are you with me? Isolation, fear, afraid, guilt, condemnation, denial, blame, and self-preservation. These are byproduct of mental illness. And mental illness started in the Garden of Eden. Didn't start with Sigmund Freud. Because he needed help. Let's close here. I want you to keep that in mind when we come back tomorrow by God's grace. Here's those terms I define. Remember grief, emotional suffering caused by a disaster, an unfortunate outcome, sorrow, anxiety, apprehensive uneasiness of mind, worrying, discontent, a sense of grievance, dissatisfaction, remorse, distress arising from a sense of guilt, self-reproach, distrust, having no confidence, and suspicion. These are the areas what we are confronted with. Tomorrow, by God's grace, we will deal with those. I want to read this last statement here. If God spares tomorrow. Up here you see, very important. It says here, the physician needs more than human wisdom and power that he may know how to minister to the many perplexing cases of disease of the mind and heart with which he is called to deal. If he is ignorant of the power of divine grace, he cannot help the afflicted one, but will do what? Aggravate the difficult. But if he has a firm hold upon God, he will be able to help the diseased, what? Distracted mind. He will be able to point his patient to Christ and teach them to carry all their cares and perplexity to the great physician. Doctors, in dealing with disease, must realize they're not dealing with some organic physiological. They're dealing with a power beyond their understanding. Christ's method of healing. You pick this up in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 through 8. The first thing, son, be of good cheer, mental. Thy sins be forgiven thee, spiritual. And pick up thy bed and walk. When Christ deals with sickness, he addresses the whole person. Very important to understand that. What we did, for those who might be interested, as we continue tomorrow, we have put in this program one of our DVDs called Mind Cure. It's a three-part. We only have two parts. This is also available. Mind Cure that I did gives more information. Also, there's another DVD, which you might already have information. It's the Healing Power of Forgiveness. That's another thing that we need. And as I say, what has really revolutionized my life is John 15, abiding in Christ. If God's will, we will pick this up tomorrow. We'll go a little deeper and let's find God's solution to the problem. If I don't see you tomorrow, again, I want to leave you with what I said last time. The three P's. Anybody remember the three P's? Oh, somebody remember. The plan, the power, and the person. Remember these three P's. God has the plan. It's on this tape. He has the power. That's God's exclusive role. The only thing he's looking for is the person. The person who is willing to submit and commit to his plan and to receive his power to execute his will. I would say, admonish you, as I've learned in this year in light of 40 years, what it means to give up to God. I'm serious. You have, and I have, one essential task. Do you know what that essential task is? And I love what Ella Priva bring up. Even our salvations, the only thing that we should be concerned with is bringing honor to God. But the greatest challenge you and I have to help someone else is surrendering. We don't know what that means. I pray tonight you go to bed, before you go to bed, so get up, Lord. And the conversion is a day-by-day experience. But not until we experience unconditional surrender. That means giving up my rights to control my life. You know, Jesus made no plans for himself. That doesn't mean God don't give you the faculty to have forethought. But to try to control, direct your life, that is something that you're going to end up in the ditch. I did it for 40 years. We could have been ahead of the ball game. We are past the fourth generation of Adventism. God is not going to fill us with his spirit until he can trust us with his spirit. Tonight, before you lay down, say, Lord, if I don't know how to surrender, I give you permission to take this heart. Give it to him. Let him mold it. Now when, now here's my last question before we pray. When you look at John 15, and just one question. You read verse 1, verse down to verse 3, when Christ said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I take it away. Every branch in me that bear fruit, I purge it. I said this before. Repetition deepens the impression. He purged it. For what reason? For what reason? Come on, man. Let you go. What reason? To bring forth more fruit. Now, my question, I asked this before. What does he use to purge you and I to make us fruitful? That's what I thought you said. Pick up your Bible. Look at verse 3 as we close out. God does not use trials to perfect our characters. Do you hear what I just said? Look at verse 3. Don't take thus says Jackson word. What does verse 3 say? He said, you are clean through my word. Trials reveals what's in our hearts. Trial reveals our great need. You might be going through a trial and praying to God, Lord, help me in this trial. The word of God offers the solution to the trial. If this brother and I, good friends, have a broken relationship causing heart pain, depression, I become very bitter and angry against this brother because he's done me wrong. Irreparable damage, I might say. And every time I hear this brother's name, chills run through my body. Now, I'm using it as a demonstration. I've been through that experience. And we say, man, I'm going through a trial. God's trying to perfect my character. He's revealing what's in your heart. Then God sent his word for the solution. Forgive him and love him. Did you hear what I said? Is that what the word said? Forgive him and love him. That's what the word said. The word is what? Produce in you and I the fruit. Hebrews 4:12. Psalms 51. John 17:7. God used the word to prune us. Mental illness only can be resolved by the mind being restored. I work with people. Mental depression, bipolar. I work with paranoid schizophrenia. I've seen the devil speak through people's voices, sitting there right in front of a person. And as I'm talking to her, all of a sudden a man voice, a very squeaky, scary voice comes out of this woman. I face those things. We're not talking about exercising the demons out of them. You can't play with the devil. There's power in the word of God. May God help us. May God give us a love for his word. May God make us men and women who our prayer life is like breathing. May a light shine. Let us pray together. If you kneel with me, bow our heads. Loving Father, our Creator, our Sovereign God, is in the name of thy Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other name in heaven and earth whereby men and women can be saved. We call upon him, Father, because he's faithful. Calvary, Lord, is a revelation to our dull senses what sin does to the heart of God. We thank you for Jesus, who have treaded the winepress, Lord, who have gone through this and left us an example. He didn't leave us an example of what a God can do, but what a man can do by God abiding in him. Father, let us have that experience through Jesus Christ. And Lord, there's things that are challenging our lives. It could be marital trouble. It could be financial burdens. It could be institutional problems. It could be church problems. But Father, all those things are not to be our focus. Our focus is one thing, is that we must learn how to ultimately, unconditionally surrender our lives into your hands, that we might glorify you, that the fruits of your character will be reproduced in us, and thus others might partake of those same fruits in your life, reproducing their lives. All these factors that cause us to not get sleep, agitation, irritation. Father, we surrender to you. We give up using Satan's methods of solving problems. We want your tools, the love, the forgiveness. We want the fruits of the Spirit to be perfectly reproduced in us. Father, continue your pruning work. Give us grace to endure the pruning. Because, Lord, that's what you're looking for, fruits. So if we're not able to come back together tomorrow, I pray that, Lord, it's not so much we have to have this message, it's that we need to know where we find our strength. So let the souls fall at the feet of Jesus tonight. Let our sleep be sweet. Let no more ruminating, no more agitating of our spirit. I lift up this institution, the leaders. I lift up the families, the individuals, the marriage couples. I pray, Father, you take us into your hands. Shape us, mold us, fashion us. Make our will like your will. And that we might have a joy and a peace that the world can't take. And that we can finish this work. That we can vindicate your name through your power. That the world might see a manifestation of the very character of Jesus Christ. For out of darkness come treasure. Guide us through this darkness tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.